Why I Don't Vote by Steve Martin. This is not a posture I've held my entire life. It is not something I settled years ago. And it is not a conclusion I reached lightly. In fact, this journey, for me, has begun only recently. Over time, I started noticing that my engagement with national politics was producing more anxiety than clarity, more distraction than love, and more reaction than peace. What once felt like responsibility slowly became noise, and eventually I had to ask a different question, not, what should I believe politically, but, where does my confidence actually live? What follows is not a rule for others. It is simply an explanation of where I am now and why. What I mean and what I don't. When I say I am becoming apolitical in national politics, I want to be clear about what that means. It does not mean that I don't care about people. It does not mean that I deny suffering, injustice, or hardship. It does not mean that I believe God is absent from history. It does mean that I no longer participate in national political systems in the ways I once did. I do not belong to a political party. I do not align myself with partisan platforms, and I do not vote. That choice is not rooted in cynicism or protest. It is rooted in a growing scriptural realization, one that is still forming, still settling, and still reshaping how I live. Choosing to be uninformed on purpose. Alongside this shift, I have also become intentionally uninformed about daily political developments, both in the United States and globally. That word, uninformed, can sound irresponsible, but for me, it is a matter of stewardship. I do not follow the constant churn of headlines. I do not track political commentary or election cycles. Instead, I am choosing to stay present, present with my family, my friends, and my neighbors, present with the people whose lives I can actually touch. I have found that constant political awareness was pulling my attention away from real relationships and into abstract fear. Stepping back has made me less reactive and more available, less consumed and more grounded. Two very different arenas. One of the most clarifying realizations for me has been learning to distinguish between human governance and divine administration. Scripture never treats nations as ultimate. Governments rise and fall. Kings are installed and removed. Empires appear permanent until they aren't. This pattern is consistent throughout history and throughout Scripture. See end notes. By contrast, God is not responding to events as they unfold. He is operating all according to the counsel of His will. 2. Not some things, not spiritual things only, all things. Rulers, authorities, eras, resistance, and even failure are not interruptions to God's purpose. They are encompassed within it. God sets up whom He wills. This realization has deeply affected how I view political power. Scripture repeatedly affirms that God sets up rulers and removes them. Authority is not seized independently of Him, nor does it persist beyond His intention. 3. Whatever one believes about the mechanics of elections, Scripture is clear about authorship. God is not scrambling to retain control. He is not waiting to see how history turns out. He is not dependent on human participation to secure His purpose. Paul tells us that God has made known the secret of His will, purposed in Himself, leading to an administration designed to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. 4. An administration does not suggest uncertainty. It suggests intention, direction, and completion. Why I don't vote. Because of this, I no longer believe that my vote carries ultimate weight. That statement can sound shocking, but it is not meant to be dismissive. It is simply honest. If God truly sets up whom he wills, if history is genuinely authored rather than negotiated, then my confidence cannot rest in a ballot. Voting began to feel like a symbolic act I was being told mattered more than Scripture said it did. For me, continuing to vote required holding two conflicting beliefs at once, that God is sovereign and that outcomes ultimately depend on human intervention. I could no longer sustain that tension with integrity. So, I stepped back, not in anger, not in protest, but in trust. A shift in citizenship. This has also reshaped how I understand identity. Paul consistently locates the believer's calling beyond national frameworks. Our blessings are in the super heavens. Our identity is in Christ. Our expectation is not anchored to borders, parties, or policies. 5. Earthly citizenship exists, but it is no longer central. When national identity becomes primary, fear inevitably follows. The fear that everything depends on us. But when identity is rooted in God's administration, that urgency dissolves. Peace replaces pressure. Politics feeds urgency. Grace, joy, cultivates peace. Political systems thrive on urgency. There must always be a looming crisis, an approaching disaster, or an existential threat. Awareness becomes a moral obligation. Anxiety becomes a virtue. Grace speaks differently. Grace announces that God is not anxious, that the future is not fragile, that history is not teetering on the edge of collapse, waiting for us to rescue it. 6. Choosing peace is not avoidance. It is confidence in authorship. The gospel is not a political instrument. Another reason for this shift is what happens when the evangel becomes entangled with political movements. The good news was never designed to prop up nations or sanctify policies. It announces reconciliation already accomplished, not outcomes dependent on legislation. 7. When the gospel is drafted into political service, it begins to sound like pressure rather than grace. That is not good news. Loving without labels. Stepping away from partisan identity has also changed how I relate to people. Without political labels, conversations open, listening deepens, love flows more freely. I am less tempted to sort people quickly and more able to meet them where they are. I find that love works best when it is not tethered to ideology. Where I am now. This posture is new for me. It is still forming. I am not offering it as a standard for others or a test of faithfulness. I am simply describing a realization that has begun to reshape how I live. I am less informed, but more present. Less invested in systems, but more confident in God. Less reactive, but more at peace. My hope does not rise or fall with nations. It rests in a God who is already heading up all in Christ. 8. And for now, that is where I stand.